Down the castle hall he came, roaring,
Fee, fi, fo, fum! Fee, fi, fo, fum!
Fee, fi, fo, fum! Hee, hi, ho, hum! I'm a most amazing guy, a most amazing guy am I! Fee, fi, fo, fum! Hee, hi, ho, hum!
Welcome, children! It's time for This Week in Mormons. You don't even know where you are, but here you are. You've returned, which is wonderful. Very nice of you to return, because we never know. Any given week, you could decide, that's it. I'm done with these goons. It's over. And yet, you remain. I am here, your pretentious host. I've been called worse than that, and I don't care. I'm Jeff. And guess what, friends? Guess what? Al's still not here. He insists that he's busy in the country of Hungary, if that's even a place, so whatever. I am joined by perhaps our greatest cadre of hosts that we've had in the time we've been having to do this. And by the way, Al will be back next week, so keep your pantyhose on. But in the meantime, I would like to introduce first, my wife. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Jeff.
This is Danielle. She's my wife. She's better than me in basically every single way. And
you're stuck with me forever.
There's going to be a lot of capitulation and kind of, you know, me. Yeah, I'm going to be weaker on this episode because of obvious reasons. Hi, honey.
Because I put you in your place.
You put me in my place. I can't be contained. So, welcome. Thanks for doing the show.
Hey, no problem.
She's here. I think you're a little tired.
I'm very tired.
I don't know why. I don't understand what the problem is. It's not like we have a kid who wakes up at 4 a.m. every night. And No.
Okay. He's great.
Yeah, he's a wonderful child. Not to be outdone, we're also joined by Blake and Ealing Day of Modesto, California.
Yay.
What's
West
up,
Coast
everybody?
Is the best coast.
Hey, guys.
Now, Blake is he's a friend of ours, and he's also a nascent podcaster. There's a lot going on here, Blake. So why don't you and Ealing introduce yourselves? Let the listeners know what makes you here to be part of the Twim Nation on this exciting episode.
Well, I mostly define myself by the Jeff Openshaw's former home teaching companion. That's when I introduce myself. I say, "Hi, I'm Jeff's old home teaching companion." So
those were the days, man.
Those were the days. Those were good days. Ealing and I do come to you today from Modesto, California. Used to be lovely Alexandria, Virginia, where...
Not the part you lived in, but right.
Right, yes.
Eaton Square. I mean, we can call it what it is on the air.
Right? Yeah.
Like it's Eaton Square.
Absolutely.
Don't live there, people. If you hear my voice, don't.
Just keep going. Yeah, we're excited to be here. We're really excited to be here.
Stoked.
Wow, Ealing, that was some fire right there.
Yeah.
Just so excited.
Yes, I remember Jeff and Blake bonding over baseball and a favorite movie that our son is named after.
That thing you
Wait,
do?
Is that real?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
He's named after that? I mean, obviously, I know his name and the main character is...
I would say it could be inspired
wow.
by... Inspired by true
Hats
events,
off to you guys for doing that.
Jeff's a true fan.
He really
what
is.
What are we going to name our child?
We're going to name our first daughter Faye.
As a matter of
That's
fact, we That's saw the for the very first time the uncut version of said movie at your home.
Are you sure? I thought I was going to say. Did
no,
you?
With you.
We did.
With
so
you.
Long.
That was.
We,
I was introduced
we,
to
we
it for the first time. I have to say I wasn't a big fan, but
yeah,
it needed
different.
To be done. Because
it's like Dances with Wolves long. It
yeah.
adds... It suddenly becomes Batman v Superman.
Boy.
You don't know where this was coming from. 2-hour and 40-minute film about a band in the 60s. I mean, what is this? This
said is movie is That Thing You
yes.
Do, for anybody wondering. Love that movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, Blake and I, we were once in the same ward. We were home teaching companions. Though in many ways I credit my wife and Ealing, I think. Because you know how, like, you can be home teaching companions and you get a
it's
good...
True.
Rhythm going with that, and you're like, you know, you make the small talk and you become friends and it works fine. But I remember one day Danielle came home and she was like, "Do you know Blake's into The Amazing Race?" And I was like, "No, I was not aware that he was
things
into
were
the
forever
Amazing
changed
Race. This,
at that point
I said this is delightful news. This is great news. And now this is why home teaching can be beautiful. And then Blake and I were requested by a woman we home taught who was in the Relief Society presidency to help man the barbecue at a Relief Society event. And we sat there, and so we finally got talking about stuff like The Amazing Race and The Bachelor, and we realized this is a beautiful thing we have going. That barbecue changed
That barbecue
everything.
Did change everything.
We had beautiful drives to Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, man.
So many good times.
Yeah.
All around.
Those were good times. You know, Modesto just doesn't provide that kind of atmosphere on so many levels. So we miss you guys, and we miss DC.
Don't you guys have an arch over your main street, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I just drove, but they just built like a new on ramp right at the north entrance to the city, and I just learned this. But it says, have you seen this? It's like wealth, community, health, water. Or something like
not
that. Like
water.
Those four. No, it is. It's not water. But there's like these four, and that's like our slogan to
it's
the
definitely
city.
Definitely not water.
No,
it shouldn't be water because that's fairly ironic if it is water. But there's something. It's like commitment. Well, it shouldn't be wealth or health then either, because neither of those are strong points of Modesto. Anyway, that's where we are now.
Yeah, so Blake used to work, I believe, was it actually for the RNC? I don't know, but Blake basically tried
just
to raise
one of those
money for
federal Republican campaigns,
and he hated it all the and he complained about it all the time. So he sold out to Big Pharma.
I did, and when I got that job, Jeff said, "How'd you get that job? You're not a pretty blonde girl who used to cheerlead." I said, "Wow, thank you, Jeff."
But that said, you know, there's been times I've texted you and been like, maybe I should sell out too, buddy. Maybe that's what's worth it, man.
Yeah, well, because it's not so bad. There's trade-offs.
We too could live in Modesto.
Dem bills come knocking. So.
You too
Modesto,
could be
honey?
Here.
So close to my parents.
You always want to go to California again. So yeah. You didn't realize I was going to take you to like Visalia or Modesto.
Fresno.
Or Fresno.
The towns that I could list
the
off
armpit
for you.
Of California.
Porterville, no. Tulare.
Isn't Merced like the only redeemable one in the Central Valley? No offense, Central Valley listeners, but you know
Merced.
You're in the valley that hope forgot. There's problems. There.
I would rather live in like a Turlock, if you know Turlock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure,
I would rather live in Turlock than Merced. Merced.
What about Stockton?
In fact, I think a bunch of people just got stabbed on the UC Merced campus. So, yeah.
But someone also got shot at UCLA. So clearly,
that's true.
No one, even if you're in Brentwood, no one is safe.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere, people.
Anyways, we're also all Mormon. So
yes.
In shocking news, based on the theme of this show, everyone here is a Mormon.
Are Mormon.
So to inform our view, what callings do you guys have right now? Because that matters a lot about the kind of person you are.
Absolutely.
Not really, but just curiosity.
I am the Laurel advisor in the Young Women.
Oh my gosh, honey. You're like the same people.
Yeah, I am the first counselor in Young Women.
How many Young Women do you have these days?
Well, four. No, we have one that just aged up, so now we have five.
Things are happening.
That's awesome.
We have five.
And how many?
And I brought my campaigning skills with me, and
ward mission leader.
No, I am the young men's president. Worked
Atta
hard
boy.
To get that position. Really proud of it.
Is that at least fun though? I mean, so do you both get to go?
It
to
is. Yeah, we don't have any kids, so we just go to Mutual on Tuesday nights together. And when we first moved into the ward, people thought Ealing was one of the Laurels, so she just blended right in. Awesome. No, it's fun and I get to go camping. I bought a bunch of camping gear, spent way too much money at REI, which I love now, so I have a bunch of camping gear that I use once a month to go out with my Boy Scouts, and I'm gonna spend a week on high adventure in Zion National Park, which I've never been to before, at the end of this month. So yeah, it's good. I like it.
It's going to be good.
So Jeff, you're the only outlier here.
Yeah, everyone else here is having like a party time with the kids. I'm kind of envious.
And you are still operating as the Elders Quorum president?
I'm still the Elders Quorum president. They haven't fired me yet, despite repeated efforts on my part. They just don't do it. I did realize, though, last week they reorganized our Relief Society presidency. And with that being the case, I'm like the longest tenured non-bishopric member.
Wow.
In the ward council now, I'm pretty sure, which is pretty weird. So it kind of hit me then, like, am I on the chopping block? Am I legitimately on the chopping block? Because now I've been around longer.
How long have you been in that calling now? You got it just before we left. Three years?
No, it's only been about two years.
Oh, you must got it right before we left then.
No, it was a little bit before. You guys moved away in like December or something.
Yeah, a year and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, boss.
I'm good at this.
But it feels like 3 years when you're living in Modesto.
Yeah,
I understand.
It does.
So, anyway. Blake, since you and Ealing are in Young Women's and Young Men's,
yes,
you probably want to start off with the first story.
I thought this was an awesome story. Well, actually, let me back up. When I first saw this story, I was like, I thought it was very strange. Did you read this?
I didn't.
So apparently our seminary students are no longer going to be doing scripture mastery. very interesting. And so when I saw that, I thought, man,
it's over.
This up-and-coming generation does not do anything.
That's awesome.
And now the church is giving them an out to not do scripture mastery either. But in reading the article further, I actually completely agree with it. I think it's a really good thing. So we are going to be moving to doctrinal mastery. Doctrine mastery. Something like that. And basically, yeah, they're going to be covering a lot of the same things, except for there's like they set it up where they stick with the book that they're in that year. So it'll still rotate between the Old Testament, the New Testament, Book of Mormon, and the Doctrine and Covenants. And there will still be scriptures associated with each of these. But there are, I believe, 9 principles that they're going to be, or 9 doctrines rather, that the students are going to be focusing on. And it's really designed to help students talk about and answer questions in a more real, using more real language, because these are questions that people are getting asked at school from an extremely young age. And if they want answers to these questions, a lot of times they just jump on the internet, and the things that they find there are not favorable towards our religion, needless to say, sometimes. And so this new curriculum is designed to help students grasp principles and understand what they believe and why they believe it and where the scriptural backing for their belief is, and to be able to basically stand true to what they believe in. So I thought it was really cool.
Basically, yeah, to know it instead of just reciting it, right?
Yeah. I think it's really cool because it also goes back to what the youth are doing right now in their curriculum in church and how they're teaching each other. And that's what they're trying to do very similarly with these thing. But also,
our favorite
pronoun is thing right now. We do it all the time. Anyways.
We're so tired. We just call everything a thing, right?
But also, I just think like how inspirational it is. If you think about the church and the way that they're restructuring the Sunday school program and also Relief Society and Priesthood, they start with the youth. And why are we doing this? Like, why are we starting with the youth and structuring their programs first before getting to the adults? And I mean, my thought is like those are the ones that we need to start working on, because they're the ones that are going to be moving forward and carrying the church forward.
And they're also in some ways the most at risk.
They are definitely.
I mean, it's not like people in their 20s and elsewhere aren't, but you know, you got to teach the kids well so they can buffet.
This, yeah, you know. If you think about it, they're having more discussions about like even like ordained women stuff. I remember the young women in our ward talking about that with such confidence, having an answer to those questions and an opinion, and that stuff that we never even faced when we were younger. Like, no one talked about ordained women. No one talked about same-sex marriage. It was like nothing that was really important. I need to run and get our son too. So
yeah,
you
it sounds
guys
like we have
bright
kids. So I'm going to continue. One thing I love about it is scripture mastery, and it says they'll still memorize, you know, 25 scriptures that are a part of the mastery. I don't know if they'll still do scripture chase or anything, which was kind of fun. But I don't think I ever internalized the scriptures very much. You know, I was memorizing the references. Some people, you know, would like dip their scripture pages in starch. I don't know if you ever saw stuff like that. Scripture chase is very competitive. I would crinkle mine up and fold it over hard, so that way when I uncrinkled them, there'd be some contour, some topography on the page, so it'd sort of hold the book open a bit more. Also, you can win, right? Which defeats the entire purpose of what we're trying to do. I remember one scripture from scripture chase. I remember Isaiah 1:18. That's because I think it was the only one where I had to present on it or talk about it at some point, so it stuck in my head. And that though your sins be scarlet, they be white as snow. I'm paraphrasing. That's really the only main scripture chase.
I only remember ones that I could sing like that. Like what was the one? Helaman 5:12, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, how does it start?
I don't know this song.
Helaman 5:12 is all about the rock, right?
This is embarrassing. Now I can't remember the song. Well, anyway.
And you are the young man.
I know, this is really bad. But going back to Danielle's point on that, I think it's such a great idea because, well, obviously it's an inspired, you know, revelation to change this curriculum. But I think for young people, they're also the ones that are learning new things and meeting new people and continuing to grow their circles. you know, when we talk about teaching the Elders Quorum or teaching the High Priest Group or teaching the Relief Society, most of those people, their relationships are fairly stagnant. You know, to make a new friend at that age or position in life is a lot less likely than a 14, 15, 16-year-old boy or girl. And so to be able to have these skills, to be able to answer questions and talk about what you believe and that kind of thing, as you meet new people, as you go to different colleges and you get your first jobs and that kind of thing, I think it's a crucial step. And I think it's following the outline of missionary work. You know, several years ago when we implemented Preach My Gospel, went away from the rote presentation of the lessons that missionaries gave, and now missionaries have the flexibility to teach in the way that they best see fit. And this is kind of what we are preparing young people to do with this new doctrine. Instead of just having scriptures that you have memorized, you instead have sort of an arsenal of, you know, the principles that they say that they're going to focus on here, acting in faith, examining concepts and questions with an eternal perspective, and seeking further understanding through divinely appointed sources. So basically, these young men and women will have, you know, the ability to talk about all of these different principles with those three things each step of the way. I think it's really cool.
Ealing, any thoughts, or you just want to hang
out? Just trying to get our dogs to be quiet. Sorry if you picked that up.
I'm sorry. Man, I worry this is turning, you know, we don't want this to be like the men talk, and we let our wives chime in every now and then and be like, honey.
I think everyone said,
hold on, let them in.
Good points. Going back to what Danielle said and referencing how the young women and young men are encouraged to teach lessons in their classes, I think I would have benefited greatly by that. Yeah. I mean, I haven't given many lessons in my life until I got this calling. And, you know, I would stay up all night on a Saturday preparing for this lesson, and I'd just be, like, so nervous and just counting down the hours until church was over and my lesson was done. And I think it's just a great way to prepare people to be good servants in the church.
Be fishers of men.
Yeah.
It's contextualizing things more for the kids, which is, it's funny that that was lacking for so long, I guess. But I think maybe we took it for granted that people were just going to kind of read the scriptures and get it and yippee-ki-yay. But I love some of the remarks I saw in there as well, and some of the quotes from some of the brethren, you know, when they're basically saying, look, these kids, the church is not their only source of information anymore, and so we have to step up our game. And I love that we're admitting that we've fallen short. Maybe we got complacent, whatever it may be. But, you know, now we're coming back. And I imagine this approach will change in a lot of other different ways. Wouldn't it be cool if we did all this in gospel doctrine or something, if we're actually sitting there doing
so good.
Like mastery and having workshoppy stuff.
I think it would be super cool, and I don't think we're far away from it. I think we're all trending that direction.
All right, I got a quick one here. This is from last week. We didn't quite get to it, but I would be remiss if I did not mention it. So if you remember a few weeks ago, lightning struck the angel Moroni on the Bountiful Temple. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did see that.
Yeah. And as such, it just blew out Moroni's half his head, blown out his back, man got rocked. Now, I was of the...
It was a regular JFK there.
well, okay, that's one way to take it, Blake. But I wasn't going to be so morbid and talk about the death of a president. But if that's your thing, that's okay. You went there. You're into dark humor. Can't blame you. So I was of the opinion, leave Moroni where he is. Let him stand as a testament and a reminder that although Moroni himself was damaged, the temple still stood. Something cool and poetic like that. As it turns out, the church did not heed my suggestion at all.
Interesting. They usually do.
You would think, right? We're very influential. And instead, they hauled up a brand new angel Moroni, put him up on the temple this past week. But what is interesting is I heard that the Moroni came from was supposed to be the Moroni to top the under-construction Meridian, Idaho temple. And they basically just said, all right, we can hold that off for a little bit while we make a new one for Meridian. Ship that one over to Bountiful. Let's put it up top. Bada bing, bada boom. I was hoping they actually had a warehouse just full of Moronis ready to go at a moment's notice if they need them.
Yeah. I can't imagine they would have a warehouse full of them, but that's interesting that the Meridian Temple got
robbed.
The short end of the stick on that. I'm assuming they'll get a new one.
I would think so. I don't think it's a permanent sacrifice. This isn't like a kidney or anything. You know, they're gonna get it back. What would be interesting?
What do they do with the old Moroni?
That's what I want to know too.
75% of that statue still
good.
Good. Do they have sculpture? Do they have bronze or brass? What are those made out of? Bronze, brass.
I think they're actually made out of cast something that's gold leaf. I'm not quite sure.
They have some restoration. Put it on that TV show, Restoration Hardware or something, and see if somebody can fix it up or what.
I hope so. I don't really know. What would be interesting is some angels' Moroni are not of the same. There's a few that look a little bit different, and that would be interesting to see if one of those went away, what would happen then? Would we lose the history with some of the few unique Moronis that we have, and they'd replace it with a cookie cutter one, or would they bother to give us one? I believe the LA Temple has a slightly different Moroni, for example. That would be a bummer to lose it.
Well, we have an LA expert in the room.
Yes.
I wouldn't call myself an expert. I have been married there, but grew up doing baptisms there. I didn't know that. That's news to me.
Let's be clear. Ealing is from a city that's been blocking the construction of an interstate for at least 40 years. So I don't know how well she can claim to be part of the
area. Say no to the 710.
Ealing does not want to play ball with the transportation infrastructure of the region. They're vehemently against it. Oh, Danielle's back, everybody. Hi.
Jeff, I feel like we have a lot of movie news. Movie-related news. First of all, the Star Wars couple got married. Are we familiar with this? The Star Wars couple? Have you seen these?
Yeah, so I read about it. They have fans. Like legitimate fans that came to Comic-Con to see them.
They got
Star Wars
big.
Couple?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So here's my question with these people. Did they do this Star Wars thing because they happen to be a black male and white female that look like the lead characters in the new Star Wars movie? Or are they like actual Star Wars fans? Like, was this just a lucky coincidence? Did they plan this?
They said they bought the outfits for Comic-Con and they're like, oh, well, let's just dress
Here's
up
the
for
thing.
The engagement.
Rey and Finn don't even hook up, so this is not accurate, folks.
Well,
this isn't
that's
Han
true.
And Leia, okay.
But this is ideally they would.
This is like Luke and Leia really hooking up beyond that one kiss in The Empire Strikes Back, and then we get really weird. Okay.
It's really just weird. So interesting to me that they look. I mean, it must have just been so serendipitous for them when the movie pictures came out, and they said this is the best day of our lives because we look just like those people. I mean, it must have been like a dream come true.
Yeah. So actually, I saw these pictures before I ever saw the movie. And so I legitimately thought that in the movie they hooked
That's
up.
Them.
So I'm like, I don't know.
There's some awkward tension, but I've heard they're not going to take it there.
Okay.
Not even in episode 8. They're just going to let him be buddy-buddy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But they talk about in this how they just got married in the Newport Beach Temple, but they're trying he's trying to adopt the daughter.
Right.
So they did a GoFundMe and raised like a ton of money pretty quickly to assist with like legal fees.
And it's her daughter, It's her biological daughter.
Was she married before or just had
She said the father wasn't involved and the father gave up his rights in court pretty easily.
I've had some friends who went through that, and they just straight up just adopted someone else's kid.
So she was inactive. They met off of, did you read it?
Tinder.
Boom.
Swipe
Interesting.
Left, right? I don't know what it is.
Which way does one swipe on? You guys probably don't know either.
Mm. None
yeah,
of us
I
know.
Think. No. Yeah, we were married before the Tinder.
I think
thing.
It's swipe right.
Yeah.
To
no,
say
think
yes.
It,
swipe right is good,
know.
Right?
I think so.
Choose the right.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. We said that together. Perfect.
Swipe right
that was
Tinder.
Awesome.
It's on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. In
Your acceptance of something. So there we go. We swipe right
we
on
swipe
somebody
right.
if
yeah.
she's really hot.
Yeah.
There was also this list of movies filmed in Utah in other also related movie news, but I have a serious beef to pick with this list because it doesn't include the by far greatest movie that was filmed mostly
Sandlot?
In Utah, The Sandlot.
Sandlot. So good.
Well, this is from Moroni Channel, and to its credit, it's run by teenagers out of the Philippines, is my understanding.
Really? Well, I happen to know a little bit about the Philippines, so I will get in touch with them and set them straight.
Reprimand that child.
You should. You should be like, what's up? Founded by a 14-year-old young man of the church in April 2015. So the dude in charge of it is presumably 15 years old now.
But it was interesting. Some other
That's
movies
bold,
on there
though.
That I did not
so
know.
So he's never seen The Sandlot is what you're saying.
He's probably... He's probably never seen The Sandlot.
But he has seen, what are the other movies?
There's a lot listed. I don't know where he got this list.
I think
either.
They're The Exorcist, number two. Is
High
on
School
there.
Musical, Hulk, the bad one. Well, they're both not great. A Pirates, Dumb and Dumber, I knew. Dumb and Dumber was almost filmed entirely.
And Footloose. I had friends that lived in the Footloose house. The bathroom looks exactly the same to this day. I promise.
You've been excited to throw that one out there all day.
I love the Footloose house. Great guys live there.
Do they also do a protest dance?
We had a dance party for 30 minutes, typically.
Yes.
And it would end with, you know, the Footloose song.
So the final dance.
I think. Or we do twist. Yeah, something like that.
But no protest dance in a barn. That's the one.
No, because we've already broken.
You've already broken the system?
That system.
John Lithgow's come around, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can get cranky old Bishop Samuelson to actually get on board, too. He's always keeping those kids apart. Lehigh, am
terrible.
I right? Jeez. There's a lot of stuff
there's
on this list, though. But for real, The Sandlot is...
Yeah, no, I didn't
family.
See it on there, which is... It's too bad. In fact, just I think maybe 2 years ago, they had the 20-year reunion of The Sandlot in the actual Sandlot where they play is this park north of Salt Lake. And it was hilarious because all
did
the people
looked
so much different.
I was
obviously.
Confused though when I read this.
Except for the redheaded,
the great
the redheaded
Hambino,
guy
Hamilton
looks exactly
Porter.
The same.
He does look exactly the same, just like a larger great Hambino. But yeah.
Sorry.
Oh,
Elaine,
I was just
going
to say I was confused when I read this because I thought all movies were filmed in Pasadena, California.
Literally, anytime any commercial comes on TV, I'll be sitting there and Elaine will say, "That's South Pasadena."
Yeah.
That's South Pasadena.
It is.
They're all there.
Not mm-hmm. San Diego, honey.
The dream.
What does San Diego offer to the world lately?
Wonderful things.
Like what?
Well, not Shamu. We're getting
no longer
out of
Shamu.
But we still have the zoo.
You got Legoland, honey. Remember how much fun that was?
Oh, Legoland.
Legoland is stupid. Okay. So.
Guy's going to love Legos, and we're going to have to go to Legoland just because you said that.
Probably. I love Legos too, but anyway. I would still play with Legos if you let me.
If I let you?
You see me play with the blocks with our son.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm very good.
Uh-huh. Okay. Is that what you want for Father's Day?
I would like more blocks. If
there
you
we
mind.
Go.
Thank you.
Now I know.
That'd be good. The church, it looks like the church is taking the fight against same-sex marriage or for traditional marriage, however you want to look at it, taking it to Mexico. It's happening in Mexico. We've given up on the U.S. because of the Supreme Court and inevitability. But now the folks in Mexico are facing a similar issue, and the church is trying to get them to oppose an initiative that would legalize it in the country. Now, as far as I know, though, this has only come in the form of a declaration / letter read from the pulpit, encouraging members to act up and take part in it. As far as I know, there's not a Prop 8 thing going on here, right? There's no organized movement going out to try to stop it. It's that gentle reminder,
right.
Brothers and sisters, we believe in this. It's an important part of God's plan, and we encourage you, though, to actively engage with your representatives in Mexico, assuming that, you know, the rule of law stands where they are, and try to stop this. I don't know if they're going to go beyond that or not. They did this in Argentina, too. They did the letter. But then
how did it work out in Argentina?
Argentina legalized same-sex marriage.
Yeah, I don't.
Everywhere we do
this
it still happens. But we're just trying to. They're just trying to, you know, fight the good fight. Like, what do you do if you're on your? If it's a matter of your principles, should you always fight the good fight, even if you're going to lose because it's like morally important?
Well, and I think more than I don't even necessarily think of it as a fight as much as it is just a wake-up call, kind of just like a call to action, reminder,
repentance.
If you will. You know, this is sweeping the world. It's going to be everywhere, and it's inevitable, and we just need...
Really? Everywhere? Even in Saudi Arabia?
Eventually.
And Iran?
Eventually.
Everywhere.
And I think we just need to... But yeah, I mean, like you said, the letters are just
let it go, Jack.
reminding everybody what we believe, why we believe it, and going back to that new doctrine for the seminary students. It's just about finding the right answers to these difficult questions within the faith and not elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I always see both sides of this. After the Prop 8 experience, part of me, like, in sort of a twisted way, I almost expect the church to go to those same lengths, even if there is no feasible chance for it to have the same effect. Because I feel like when it's a moral issue, as we say, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, you fight it. And it always makes me feel like Prop 8 was only done because there was a political chance for it to pass in that sense in California. Whereas elsewhere, where there's no realistic chance of anything coming of it, they read a letter, they remind people what to do, and then they, you know, then they lick their wounds and move on to the next fight. But I'm like, you know what?
So this is a moral issue. They just learned from it.
And I think they did learn. I think we learned a lot of lessons from Prop 8. I mean, yeah. I think the church is still learning lessons.
I remember I had to do phone calls.
You had to?
Well, they like sent around a thing for people. For people that were from California.
Yeah.
And we had to sign up. Well, not had to. Sorry. They encouraged. Strongly encouraged.
They invited you is the verb we're about to use. Yes.
I think I did it on Halloween or like right around Halloween. Anyways.
It's fitting.
Sure.
It's a good chance to get all those Harry Potter worshipers to get in line too.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty, dirty, dirty. Witchcraft.
Yeah, my dad does not like Harry Potter.
What?
Really? This is a good pivot, Danielle. Let's talk about Christianity and Mormonism and Harry Potter.
Yeah, he thinks that it's like evil or something.
Because that's very popular in the Christian right. A lot of groups think Harry Potter is promoting witchcraft and that it's wrong.
Yeah.
But Mormonism seems to usually be more... Most Mormons I know are like cool with Harry Potter, even if they're not into
Harry Potter.
Unless
something's changed. That's the way I remember it.
Should we have your dad on the show?
If he listens to this, he can come back.
He does listen
and
sometimes.
We can have a battle or something.
All right, Craig.
Bring your talking points.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear
because
the talking points.
Because you're not going to rebut me in this moment.
Why? I mean, it's all fiction, right?
But it promotes witchcraft. That's what people usually
promotes evil. Witchcraft.
Promotes straight up like... And witchcraft is satanic.
Interesting.
That's the idea.
So are face cards.
Face cards are also satanic, apparently.
I'm just kidding. I played Rummy like all growing up.
Here's a quick one here. I don't think we talked about this last week. So a bunch of Utah companies, not directly Mormon, but when it's Utah, we like to make fun of it and have a laugh. So some Utah companies are facing a fine, up to $1 trillion in fines for not respecting the Do Not Call list. That's right. Utah, your home of, you know, friendly multi-level marketing and feature films for families, the producer of The Buttercream Gang and The Velveteen Rabbit.
Oh, I love those movies.
Intellectual properties. Repeatedly broke the Do Not Call list, antagonizing people in a massive lawsuit they could face. They could face a fine that is larger than the GDP of most nations. So I don't think they'll pay that full amount. But either way, good job, Utah. Way to respect. I don't have anything else to say beyond that.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay.
Panel.
So also in Utah, they're going to have a fight. Have you talked about that yet?
Is this between... I'm trying to think of something quippy, but I don't have it. So
I can't remember who it's between, but I know that there's a Romney that's in charge of it.
Charity Vision.
Romney's not boxing this year, though.
No,
right?
No, he's an MC.
Charity Vision.
Here we go.
Yeah.
They're doing Evander Holyfield and... I think he's doing
it
again.
Last year, right?
Is he not?
No. It's between... Okay, no.
That's right.
It's between Oscar De La Hoya and Mario Lopez.
AC Slater.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And if one thing I saw, even though AC Slater was apparently the captain and the all-state in like every sport at Bayside, not boxing. I never saw him box.
They don't have boxing.
He wrestled. He played football. He played wheelchair basketball against the girl in the wheelchair where Zach repeatedly referenced her wheelchairness and made her feel awkward. But he never boxed.
He is now. Yeah, the golden boy. They don't, like, actually fight, though. If it's anything like last year where they did Evander Holyfield against... It's boring.
Right.
Yeah.
He got two rounds, okay?
Yeah, it was really... It was awkward, really. More than anything.
Actually, it's a tickle fight? Is it really a tickle fight?
It was basically a tickle fight.
I tried to work for this company, Charity Vision. They have a branch in the Philippines, and I was really close, too. And instead, I think they gave it to, his son. Yeah. It was like, man,
Tag.
Come on.
Yeah, his son Josh.
This could have been you, is what you're.
It could have been me. I could have been right there organizing this fight.
And you would have gotten Manny Pacquiao to do it.
I would have gotten Manny Pacquiao. Oscar De La Hoya's a chump. He got whooped by Pacquiao. Yeah.
Tell us more about the boxing world, Blake, because I don't follow it.
Well, Manny Pacquiao just got elected as a senator in his home country, the Philippines, so he is probably never going to come back to professional boxing, which is a huge shot to me because I love watching him box. But
to me,
yes,
you son
me
of a bee,
personally, Manny, why did you do this? Why do you leave me? But he might box for his country in Rio, which is also really exciting. You guys going to watch some Summer Olympics here coming up in a month?
Can't wait to watch. Everybody will get Zika.
Yeah,
they have no government.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Zika, it's so fun. Yeah.
I wonder what I bet a lot of our listeners know this, especially if you have kids who are serving in Brazil right now, which, since this is the church, that's like one in five of you, I would assume.
Right.
You know. Like what the missionary preparations are for the Olympics. Like, are we helping out? Are we trying to proselytize? Are we going to stand around like they do in New York at the Book of Mormon musical and pass stuff out? Whereas instead we'll pass around something about, you know, track and field or rowing, you know, row your way to heaven, row.
Probably.
I don't
probably
just go on your daily business and do it.
Yeah,
probably word of wisdom pamphlets. Like, hey, you want to be an Olympic athlete? Follow the word of wisdom. That kind of thing. Probably.
They could talk about not doping, for example,
yeah,
the perils of doping
go.
And how if you live the word of wisdom, you won't dope.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to AC Slater because of the doping episode and the drunk driving episode.
So scared.
It's all full circle. I'm
story
excited for this. I will.
Are you
AC
so
Slater.
Excited, Jeff?
Now that Mario Lopez is involved, the only thing that would make me more excited if it's instead this were Mark Paul Gosselaar and Mario Lopez boxing each other for charity. What could possibly be better than Zach and Slater?
I really hope Slater comes out in his wrestling uniform.
His fancy little,
yeah.
But it's this is boxing.
I know.
You gotta wear shorts and some.
But what if it's? Oh, I guess wrestling is more what I'm thinking of, like Mexican wrestling with like a mask.
You're thinking of lucha libre.
I'm thinking
lucha
like,
libre.
I'm thinking like give him everything. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited for when does it say when this is happening? 6 p.m.
Yeah, the tickets are only like $25.
What,
go.
Where's the date?
If you're in Utah,
it says the fight
the
is
bottom.
Set for 6 p.m.
Oh, somewhere. I thought I saw the date on there.
Where's the... Oh, June 11th.
June 11th. Next week.
Was that Friday?
This week.
This week.
Saturday.
This Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, man. People go to this. None of us are in Utah, but if you're in Utah...
At the Rail Event Center. Find yourself there. Saturday night.
Make it rain. Cool. Thanks, Daniel.
Good one.
Oh, hey.
Very cool.
No problem.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Or Blake. Who did it?
I don't what know. About, I really liked this blog that I'm not a Mormon, but I'm still a member. I'm not a Mormon anymore, but I'm still a member of the church. I thought that was, obviously, the title wants to suck you in, but
yeah.
I liked it.
Hello, Greg Trimble. Thanks for the clickbait. Yes.
Yeah, seriously.
As you were.
She talks about the culture of
Salty
Mormonism.
Venture.
And this...
this
venture.
Is the one article I read... Without being
oh,
prompted
then tell us about
by
it.
Healing
Twim.
Is going to take us there.
Oh, without being prompted by Twim, we'll
yeah.
take us there then.
Oh.
Just like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the shadows.
Well, I saw it floating around Facebook, read it a little bit, and goes over all the weird culture of kind of like judgy Mormons where, I don't know, there's a culture that's associated where you think you're so righteous that you do certain things and claim it's in the name of Mormonism, but
mm-hmm.
it's actually quite contrary to what is the heart of our gospel and our doctrine. And so, yeah.
Like swimming on Sunday.
No, honey, swimming on Sunday is against the rules.
Not in my family.
Man, you are outing your family you're just mudslinging today, aren't you? This is a therapy session right here, folks.
My parents let the kids swim on Sundays. It's very confusing for me.
Because you weren't allowed to.
I grew up not being allowed to swim on Sunday, and now suddenly they have like changed their views.
I'm gonna have to edit this out because they hear this, and then your mom is gonna
Oh, we've had this discussion.
Your mom is gonna say like, "This is all my fault."
Because
right
I'm outing it to the world.
Yeah, like
oh,
I
no.
dragged you into this.
Well, I think it's funny. We have some people in our ward. Well, Blake will tell
gosh.
You in ward council every week. I don't know why the topic of whether or not certain people in our ward are keeping the Sabbath day holy by
Sabbath day observance is literally an every week in Ward Council issue.
Well, and it's been the thing for the past year, right? The whole Sabbath of Delight.
Right. No, it's been a big focus for General Conference too, and you know, it's been a big issue. But at the same time, Sabbath day observance is something that's very personal, I feel like. I mean, there are some things that are that's clearly true. Outlined that, you know, we ought to do and ought not to do. But a lot of stuff is, you know, what you and your family feel like is keeping the Sabbath day holy, and that is definitely not the place of anybody else to say anything about, let alone in front of the entire ward council, you know, highlighting specific activities that people are taking part in. Everybody in the room knows exactly who and what you're talking about, and it's very uncomfortable and not appropriate.
Do you just feel bad because you were one of the ones who was caught? Like, they saw you at IHOP on Sunday after sacrament?
Yes.
Ducking out early, they know. I've been in similar meetings in the past, and it's a fine line. At least in ward councils, weird. If you need to have sensitive discussions out of genuine concern, like wondering if something is up with somebody or whatever, like maybe PEC, maybe in a tighter meeting like that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a little shady. We've had a lot of discussions like that too. And I think I've had a bishop who was very concerned about people maximizing the Sabbath and making the most of it and making it a delight and being able to use it as an opportunity to draw closer to God. And I think there's a genuine area of concern there. But you're right, Blake. I think it's hard when it's, you know, are we becoming the personal activity police
right.
in that sense? Is it our job to tattle on people because we saw on Facebook, like, well, they went to a Nats game after church? Like, you know, I mean, what's...
Right, right. Well, and I think, you know...
I think all you can do is teach...
The Sabbath day is one of those doctrines that kind of gets picked on a lot, I think, just because it's an easy one to kind of catch people's mistakes on. But I think one of the kind of the bigger picture for this particular blog post that I really liked was just, you know, it's this... Again, it's this culture of... shaming individuals, you know, and saying things like, well, I mean, I don't know if this stuff gets said explicitly necessarily, but, you know, we need to feel guilty about our mistakes for a certain period of time before we can really be forgiven or, you know, or right. whatever it is. And that kind of culture, I think, permeates a lot of people's minds, whether they, you know, whether they realize it or not. And I just don't think there's any place for it, whether you're talking about the Sabbath or, you know, she talks about, let's see, what are some things she lists in here? A culture that shames porn addicts so deeply they have nowhere else to turn to for solace other than porn. A culture that made LGBTQ people feel confused and unloved. A culture that says, we know it, we've got the right way, follow us or be fearful for your eternity. So, there's just a lot of different, yeah.
That's how I make my
right. It's
more,
hellfire and brimstone. It's the best
follow
way,
me
only way
or
to teach.
Fear
yeah,
for your eternity.
For sure.
That's what we do every week. Fear. It's like Michael Scott said, I want to be both feared and loved. I want people to fear how much they love me. Uh-huh. I don't know if I guess I think so much of this can be depending on your locality, though. I mean, because I personally don't believe that the broader, the general messaging of the church is a culture that shames porn addicts so deeply. I don't believe that top level stuff is shaming a lot of these things that the author discusses.
Sure.
But I do think locally and as humans, we might do that. And that's on us for sure.
Where does this person live?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
But I do get concerned when sometimes people do take their individual experience and then sort of paint that over the entire church. I mean that to say, you know, Mormonism itself is culturally flawed because of my personal experience with X, Y, and
like
Z. It's not to say it might not be true. But
it's like Kate Kelly not receiving her baptismal dress.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that. What was that?
She was upset because she got a jumpsuit to get baptized
in
when
she was
8.
It was like denigrating. Like, what's up with this?
But she like painted that as like the picture for everyone, and they were like, everyone should be upset.
Well, we could do a whole
Anyways,
episode on these sweeping generalizations of Kate Kelly. Bless her for having... No, I'm not going to... I mean, no, whatever. We've talked about Kate Kelly a lot. I mean, she's... There are valid points there and things to discuss, but there's also a confusing way to go about it. Here's one thing, though. I'm going to be the jerk about this post because it has some good points, in like the second paragraph, she says, you know, I haven't left the Mormon church... But it seems we've forgotten that the Mormon church was once referred to by its original and true name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Not titled correctly. And throughout her post where she references the church's true name and original name, which is not the case because the original name of the church is the Church of Christ, a Latter-day Saints was a Latter-day convention. But she does not hyphenate Latter-day, and she makes the day in uppercase. And it's very timely that this has been doing the rounds. Are you shaking your head, honey?
You're such a snob about
because
this. You really are, Jeff. This is,
just
I mean,
this
week, is out there.
I wrote a
the
helpful
lowercase
post.
D, come
a
on.
Helpful
Nobody
post.
Does that.
A helpful
the
post.
The days would be really, they're really upset about that D.
Sorry about
days.
That, Blake. I know it's your last name, buddy, but in this case, it
well,
doesn't stand
yeah, I mean,
alone.
Yeah, I just like to pretend
Folks.
That it's my church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter, and then Day Saints. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, the Day Saints. You should start a break-off, another break-off group. We haven't had any break-offs for a while. I think it's high time we had, you know, a succession
good,
crisis.
Good a time again, as any, I think. Yeah.
Anyway, folks, I mainly mentioned that to pivot to an article we published on TWIM this week, wherein I do you the honor and service of explaining why the church's full name is written the way it is and why we should do our best to do it appropriately. That's all. Everyone should read it. If you do, I promise you, you will come away both entertained and smarter.
Is it all about just like punctuation?
You haven't even read it. Have you?
No, honey, I haven't read it.
You are the least supportive wife.
You go That's to all of this work to make sure everybody
history.
Else has to spell our church's name right.
Oh,
she doesn't
I can
even
see
read
why
it.
You think that. But,
oh my gosh.
But really, I mean, the punctuation stuff, honey.
And it's also a proper trademark title. So even taking away all the punctuation and grammar behind it, that's the official title.
This is why I can never do a blog. This is why.
Why?
Because someone like you is going to look at it
and
you're
point out
read,
your grammatical errors and spelling mistakes.
It has great content, but you are going to go back and just point out the little things.
No,
exactly, Blake.
Like I said, they're still good. I mainly use this to just pivot to this other thing that we had to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Pivot.
I pivoted. Pivot.
Okay.
Pivot. But I feel very strongly about this. It's just like when we talked about a long time ago how people sometimes end their talks or testimonies. And they say, in the
that's
name
a
of
frustrating
son,
one. Yeah, I don't
Jesus
like that
Christ,
one.
Or
amen.
I say these things instead of we say these things.
Or that's I think that's a much lesser sin, honestly, but it's not even a sin. But yeah, when in a group's prayer.
Well, let's back
say,
up. I don't know if
things,
any of
minor,
these things are sins.
In my opinion. Yeah, none of these are sins or even transgressions for that matter. These are
yeah.
just best practices.
Yeah,
people.
Best practices. There
just
you
best
go.
Best practices.
Good.
But anyway, yeah, the thy son yeah. thing, think about that one for a little bit, folks. If you're giving a talk and you close in the name of thy son, who to whom
and
is your talk
And that mistake,
directed?
I swear, that mistake about? Knows no boundaries. I have heard bishops. I've heard, I mean.
That's a cultural thing right there. Boom. That's just because we're not thinking about what
yeah,
we're saying. We're just kind of just going, like, okay,
sure.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And we don't think about it. For sure. Rammy umped him for days, people. Get off.
Get down from there.
Right. What's up, honey? You're giving me a look like
I'm tired.
Like you're gonna keep your back to me all night when we go to bed. That kind of situation.
No, that's
only because I currently have
actually you're breathing on me
now.
Still a little bit. Can you stop a little bit further that way?
Danielle and I will be facing opposite directions in tonight when we go to sleep. We won't see each other until the morning. It'll be lovely. Well, we'll have a few more things to do, I guess, before we close out. Blake, what other Ealing? What else do you guys have that you want to cover for the week?
I read about the Catholics and the Mormons.
Joining forces, right?
Yeah. I like Catholics. I went to a Catholic all-girls high school.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How was that as a Latter-day Saint going to Catholic school?
Well, I thought it was great because I also went to a non-denominational Christian junior high. So if you compare the two of them, Catholics, I feel like, are very inclusive, inviting, loving. They embrace all different cultures and religions and celebrate. I felt like with my Christian junior high, it was very much... Oh, we need to save Ealing. She's a Mormon. Here, let me give you some literature.
Did you go to any concerts?
I enjoyed reading about them joining forces there. It's good.
You went to some concerts?
Yeah. No, I remember having something similar, like needing to be saved. And some high school friends took us to some concerts where we had to raise our, you know,
you
raise your
you
hand.
Praise.
You praise.
Yeah.
I got a few CDs. They were pretty awesome.
Am I alone in feeling like sometimes Mormons are perplexed by the evangelical movement beyond other religious movements?
I just thought it was funny because, like, they were trying to convert me and were so often trying to convert other people.
I know.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking. Like, how would a Mormon junior high do in terms of being inclusive and welcoming of other schools of thought versus trying to save people?
That's what I think when Jehovah's Witness missionaries come and knock on our door and they say, can we give you this pamphlet? And I say...
And it's laughable. I guess so,
but I already have a church. And like, isn't that what our missionaries face every
totally
day?
Totally is. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But we got it right. So that's... Yeah.
Yeah, and that goes back to that piece you talked about. It's like, well, we're right.
Yeah, so
shove
so
it
there. Take that.
Boom. I'm going to say that in testimony someday.
Oh, man.
Hey, visitors, get in line. I think this is a joke. My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'll press skip.
Anyways, I'm glad that we're playing nice with the Catholics.
Yes.
That's all.
Good job, us.
Otherwise, it could get crazy, man. It could just be...
Well, I think that there's common...
The troubles all over again.
There's things that we have common with every religion, really. Mm-hmm.
But I think Mormons and Catholics have always sort of felt like we share a lot of common bonds, probably primarily because we believe in the whole, you know, prophetic authority and, you know, lineage and such like
right.
that. I mean, they go back to, we're the only ones that try to claim that sort of divine mandate in that same sense. So I think we've always.
Speaking kind of religious freedom, I was excited to see the promotion of religious freedom in Africa. My youngest brother is on his mission right now in Zambia, just got transferred to
Lusaka,
the capital of Zambia. So I was excited to see that article about promoting. I think our guy, I can't remember who it was, he shared...
It's old Joey Peterson.
Yeah. He's super educated, sharp guy from what I remember. Harvard degree plus graduated
He's not talking about Joseph.
That's not Joseph. Joseph is barely above high school.
Oh, Joseph wrote the article. No, sorry. I didn't hear that part.
About the smart guy.
Elder
hero.
Ellis. Ellis was educated at Harvard and then was part of the first graduating class of the J. Reuben Clark Law School at the Brigham Young University, the Lord's University. So
the first class.
This is a sharp guy out there with other religious leaders in Ethiopia promoting religious freedom. So excited to see the work going forward in Africa.
The church does a lot of stuff quietly behind the scenes that we never hear about. And that's something I've found to be very... I've even learned that living here in D.C. Like, love him or hate him, and many of you who listen to this hate him. Harry Reid, for example, very, very actively engaged in a lot of ecumenical efforts for the church that he never gets any credit for and you never hear a thing about. And I'm not saying he's the only one who does that by any means, just an example. But there's a lot of that stuff that goes on all around the world, and we just, you know... Which I like, because sometimes we get so addicted to the PR opportunities... that we forget there's a lot of good quiet service and just good PR going on in a quiet way.
So the church, speaking of good PR, they've teamed up with the History Channel, I believe. Well, actually, it's not the church.
It's Family Search.
It's Family Search.
It's the church. But it's to, they want people to help with indexing.
It's the Freeman's Bureau Project, which goes
very
back.
Cool.
Yeah, because it goes back, as you might imagine, in the U.S., a lot of, for African Americans, many of whom descended from the slave era, their lineage kind of stops in the mid 1800s. It's really hard, especially with the Emancipation Proclamation. It's very, very hard to do genealogy for these people before the 1860s. It can be very tough. So this has been a project to dig deeper into that and create a good. A database, and Family Search has been working in tandem with History, and they're doing all of this in advance of the opening of the National African American Museum here in Washington, D.C., which will be later this year.
Yeah, they're going to have people there to like help with.
Yeah,
we've talked about that.
Very cool.
And this has actually been going on here in our
stake.
Yeah, in our ward and stake. We've been hearing about this recently, how they're trying to get people involved to help out with the indexing effort in particular, because there's a huge... just chunk of data that they need to get.
Yeah, I think they said that 85% of it is done, but they still need the rest of it done by the opening.
Yeah, because the September 24th is the slated opening date of the museum. So it's pretty cool. To see them.
So there is work to be done. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So if you like indexing, jump on it.
I would like to talk about my hero, a woman who drinks three Dr. Peppers a day.
This was the best. She is the best.
her name's Elizabeth Sullivan. She's 104 years old. I assume she lives in the Kansas City area, so props to our often co-host Al. And she's LDS, and she says, you know, I'm not into tobacco, you know, coffee, tea, don't drink those, but I drink 3 Dr. Peppers a day, even though my doctor said no. And
but
that's
she outlived
why
them.
Yeah.
That's what she talked about.
She's the best human. And look, in the video right here, you can see a glass of Dr. Pepper sitting on the table. She needs it. She's got to have it. If I follow this model, is it the preservatives? Is that all it is? Is it just, you know, it's like I'm embalming myself while I'm alive? No.
If this model is inaccurate in any way, then I'm a solid, you know, 8 years into the process. So looking forward to that and continuing said process. Yeah.
You know your actual date. That was like the date you adopted Dr. Pepper into your life. You know. 8 years ago.
Really,
well, what's a glass? Because usually I can have 3 glasses in one sitting if you just get like a medium-sized drink at any of our local fast food chain. Yeah, I mean,
well, 8 ounces is a glass, like measurement wise
for sure. One can of Dr. Pepper, like if I get a fountain drink, I mean, yeah, easily.
That's 12
easily, not a day, but yeah,
it's nothing. It's nothing. He's packing it down.
Should she be the spokesperson for like So Delicious and all of those dirty
soda
sodas
in
Utah? Yeah. She probably likes hers clean.
Ealing, are you concerned about the health of your husband because of his soda addiction?
A little bit. More. He used to just drink water, and now he orders a soda with every meal. I'm so concerned.
No, this is all false. No.
See?
That's
all. Please
she's
stop.
Worried
it's
about
hurting
you,
our relationship and our family. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's really not that bad.
He's also stopped running.
And he won't exercise anymore.
He just wants
anymore.
To watch The Bachelorette with me.
He's depressed.
And nothing else.
Speaking of, as an aside, as we wind down here. Now, I understand, Blake, of course, you've started a podcast.
I did.
Recently.
Started a podcast.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So this podcast is called Daylight, and it is hosted by myself and my brothers whenever they are present. And we basically just tackle life's toughest questions, shed some
Such
daylight
as.
On the most important things you can think about. Like last week, our first episode just dropped, and we talked about social media and why, in particular on social media, why do we follow people that we don't like? And it was a great discussion. So it's been a lot of fun getting into the podcast world. I'm excited to be here on TWIM to get the TWIM bump for my own podcast. I'm excited for that. Thank you for having us.
But I am excited for your topic next week on the Daylight
Podcast.
Jeff's
so excited he
you
wants
guys will
to try
have
and
to
get
try
in
to I might try to muscle my way into your panel.
You know, it's hilarious
the
number of people that have listened to our first episode and have requested to be guest hosts for next week's episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
Not even kidding you. Probably 5 or 6 people have made
so it's
going to
be a Google hangout.
We haven't even told them. So, and what's
the
topic?
So the topic is, drum roll, please, which is better, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
Bachelor.
Well, it's clearly, we all know the answer. The point of the podcast is to get a little deeper into it, but the answer is fairly obvious. Yes, clearly
The
Bachelor.
Oh, I have such passionate answers.
Clearly
The
Bachelor is
so
better
deep.
Because women fights are better than men fights. Although this season has some pretty good ones, I have to say. We did not finish this 2-part episode Monday, Tuesday, so we're like halfway through. The pool party's just about to start.
I gave up on Mondays when it was like, let's have like deep sexual talk in a theater. I said, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
This is silly.
Well,
this is not the family viewing I came here for. My son is watching.
Oh, well, children. Who does that? Yeah, we don't have
11
any of those. So we're still
son.
Into the disgusting drama, raunchy TV show thing. Yeah.
It's a great program. The problem is I need to be better about having family home evening. You know? But then Monday night at 8 p.m.
Right.
That is our family home.
It's like,
that's the
like
activity
I could do
portion
a lesson
of our
FHE. On,
yeah.
I could do a lesson on, you know, articles of faith, things are virtuous and lovely and of good report. We seek after these things. And then immediately thereafter, it's just I've got to figure some stuff out.
Honey. Yeah, it's tough.
Danielle, I need you.
I'm right here
Fix
for
this.
You.
Write this ship.
Okay.
Keep my Titanic from scraping the iceberg. That's what I'm saying.
I'll never let go.
Except she does. You can't trust Rose.
They could have both fit on that board.
She never let go for like a minute and a half. Like, that was, yeah.
She was.
Hey, last thing I want to mention this week, real quick, cool news. Vietnam granted official
super
recognition.
Super cool. Excited about that.
That's a big deal. Yeah, that's a very, very big deal. It's still a communist country, but the church has spent a long time making inroads there.
And we have a mission there.
Yeah, and that's very only as of this year, right? Didn't they just barely create
split over from Cambodia, took some of the Phnom Penh mission and made the Hanoi Vietnam mission. So,
and Cambodia's got two stakes now.
Cambodia's going, blowing up. Yeah. They're the new Philippines of Southeast Asia, getting all kinds of membership.
And so I don't think Vietnam has any stakes yet.
I don't think
so. But the work is, but it's going okay.
Well, and this is
a
big step to maybe getting one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I assume it's a communist country, but I get the impression, and I'm speaking very much from a place of ignorance, that Vietnam is a little looser on religious expression compared to some other communist states.
There's just not that many to compare against anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cuba was there, North Korea. I mean, you know, like the USSR, quashed down.
Definitely more lenient than those listed.
But yeah, Elder Cook and Elder Stevenson of the 12 were both there to speak and talk about this cool, awesome, great news. Usually what this means, by the way, when it's official recognition, because it can seem like it's just here's a piece of paper, you're recognized. Mm-hmm. They've already had missionaries there, they've got units there, so it's like, what's the difference? Often, this is for tax reasons, for one. I don't know how that'll be in Vietnam. And there's a few other perks as far as, freedom of operability and sometimes, little things that might not be as much of a hassle. Because it was only a few years ago the church even got complete recognition in Italy. Before that, we were considered some sort of a second tier, basically a cult kind of thing.
Just a few years ago?
It was only a few years ago we got
we started building a temple.
Well, it has bearing on temple building too, right?
We've had freedom, but that's why it's all technical stuff.
Right.
Like in Italy, we were there, we were free to function, it was fine. But by getting this elevated status, it put us on the same level as like the Catholic Church, is like an actual recognized religion in the country that's not something shady or what have you. And oftentimes this the real perk here is like tax exempt stuff. That's usually what this entails, but who knows? But it's cool news either way.
Very
it's
cool.
Great to get official recognition. Well, I'm gonna call it, folks. Time is
what
up.
A day.
It's far spent. What a day.
See what I did there?
You are a smooth
name dropper.
Self-congratulator there. My goodness, sir. So I think we've plugged all of your products. I mean, Ealing, do you have anything to plug? Any professional endeavors you need people to be aware of if they're passing through Modesto or moving there? I'm not saying it's flyover country.
You can come in for a haircut. I'm working out of my house right now. Got a nice little station set up. So.
Licensed cosmetologist here.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Now, would I get the TWIM discount?
Naturally, of course.
Naturally.
Because I'm cheap. I still go to the haircutter for most of my haircuts. And I'm usually not excessively satisfied, but in my opinion, I'm not willing to spend more than $18 or $19 on a haircut. I can't bring myself. I can't spend $60 a pop on a haircut, right?
That's true. You do it so often. So
I do it like every 6 to 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It gets shaggy because it grows fast.
Yeah, I think I cut my hair like twice a year. It's very terrible.
You have beautiful flowing locks.
It is gorgeous.
And my hairdresser comes to my house also.
Boom. It's gorgeous hair. I love it. That's what she says.
It's
the professional, honey.
It's doing great things right now.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Anywho, folks, thanks for joining us on TWIM this week. By the way, you, of course, can join us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. Please visit us at thisweekinmormons.com where you can comment on this. You can also, of course, see show notes for this episode, links to articles mentioned, any videos that might be worth embedding, things along those lines. You'll find those on our website.
The new podcast will be posted for the days.
Daylight podcast.
Yeah we'll
same thing.
Right,
you can find us
online.
daylightpodcast.wordpress.com on Facebook and Twitter at Daylight Podcast.
We don't you need to buy that domain name, son. You can't do this .wordpress.com.
look, it's a beginning. It's a beta. Okay, we're just getting started.
Blake, if you want to be taken seriously as a professional,
who says I want to be taken seriously? It's a comedy podcast.
That's fair. I've got no retort for that. It's fine. Do whatever you want then. I'm moving This Week in Mormons to twim.blogspot.com. That's going to be our new thing now.
Cool.
Awesome.
Great, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I would like to thank Blake and Ealing Day for taking some time out of their busy California
lives.
Thanks for
having
us.
On This Week in
Mormons. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Honey, Danielle, I'd also like to thank you.
No problem.
I'm excited to see you in a few minutes when this is over.
You know,
we can debrief.
I'm always here.
Always there.
I know, I'm sorry.
The omnipresent Danielle.
Sorry about that. That's because I will not let you work. because I insist on being a provider. And I say, you stay here, woman. You quell your ambition.
And that's a lie because I go to work tomorrow.
Well, so. Whatever. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Anyway, goodbye. Thanks for listening to the TWIM, everybody. Appreciate you taking the time to do it. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. My favorite dream, everyone is so delightful. No one's mean or spiteful. In my favorite dream. Yes, and in my favorite dream, there my heart can go romancing, dancing to a heavenly theme. But there's something else I look for.